God is good. All right. So we are in Revelation chapter 22, and this is the grand finale. Man, we are so blessed to have such a treasure. Many people say they're afraid of reading Revelation. The only way it should be a fearful thing to any of us is if we're on the wrong side of our relationship with the Lord. If you have a relationship with the Lord, there's nothing but good here in store. It's the culmination of everything, and it's the consummation of everything whenever God finally comes back to gather up his people and then in the end bringing the New Jerusalem down from heaven so that we can be like it was supposed to be in the first place before sin entered the world. And so I want to praise God for that. I do want to remind you of your bulletins. Make sure that you do take a look at that little leaflet that's inside there. And you'll be reminded as well, but on tonight, the service is being moved to Bass Creek Camp. Wednesday night, July 16th, there will be a move of the service from Cadet to Bass Creek Camp as well, and that starts at 7:15 out of camp. And then Wednesday the 23rd, during Boys Camp, the service will be canceled here on Wednesday night as well and moved to Bass Creek Camp at 7 p.m. So we're going to look forward to all those things. We meet in the tabernacle there. And so if you haven't been out to camp, it's pretty easy to find. And you can get some directions from one of us or whatever. But Google Maps will probably get you there or whatever type of mapping that you use. So let's go ahead and open up to Revelation chapter 22. In those last few verses, we're going to start at verse 17. And through to the end of the chapter. So let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Revelation 22, verses 17 through 21. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these words, we look and we see that the second coming of Jesus is imminent. It is absolutely going to happen, and it could happen at any time. Lord, that rapture, that wonderful calling up of the church, could happen at any moment. And so, Lord God, help us to live like it will be today. Help us to live like it's going to be right now. And Lord, help us to be praying for this world that so many are still on the outside of a relationship with you. And Lord, whether it is the time that Jesus comes back or it's the time that that person goes to be before you, either way, there's no second chances. And so, Father, I pray that you would just be working in people's lives and just calling them to get their lives right with you. And so for the church, for the bride of Christ, it's a time for us to say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. When you're ready, come. We look forward to that day. We are looking forward to the day of your return. We're like a bride that's being made ready for that wonderful wedding day. That wonderful day that the bridegroom will come to gather up his bride. Lord, please help us to look forward to that day. Help us to plan for that day. Help us to make ourselves ready for that day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and just look a little bit deeper here as we read these words. But before we do, I'm going to take us backwards in the scripture to the Old Testament. I want you to understand the Old Testament isn't like a different book or a different God or that God changed or anything like that. I mean, he's still the same God, amen? He's had the same plan all along. This has been his plan from the very beginning all the way through, since the fall. Since the fall brought, you know, that fall, that first sin brought judgment into the world and caused all of this death and suffering. God's already had the perfect plan on how he's going to solve the whole situation. He sent Jesus at the proper time. He even told Daniel the exact number of years it would be. And whenever they asked the scribes and the scribes where they might find this new king that was born, they knew exactly where he would be born. They just didn't go to worship him. You know, many people know that all this is true. Satan knows it's true. There's many who could believe it intellectually, but I can tell you that isn't what saves us. What saves us is for our heart to be submitted to Jesus as our Lord. And so I pray that as we went through this book and we're down to the very last pages, and you know, we understand that this will happen. There's no doubt about it. It's just like everything else in the scripture. It's happened exactly as he said, because he is not only the one who tells us about it, but he's the architect. He's the one who wrote it. He's the one that designed it, and he's also going to be the one to carry it out. And so when we go backwards into the Old Testament, I want us to read Psalm 2. I read this with our prayer group yesterday morning. I'd like to read it again. It's not a real long read. It's just 12 verses, but man, they are impactful. I want us to hear this from the Old Testament, because this is being played out in our day today. We can see the evidence of exactly what we're going to read here. Let's read together in Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. This is why we see the world in such turmoil. It's a resistance against God and his ways. It's a resistance against the lordship of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, as we have already read in Revelation, you've been here with me through all or most of it, you can see that all of their resistance is going to come to nothing in the end. They will all get together. They will all agree together. Even during the Great Tribulation, they'll be joining their forces together, and they're going to come out, and they're going to say, look, if we join our power together, we can defeat the Lord Jesus. But I can tell you, all of their power put together is nothing but a whisper. God will, he will take them out with the breath of his mouth. Just the very words that come forth, or the double-edged sword, we're reading them today. This is the word of God. This is more powerful than everything the kings of the earth can come up with together. We serve a mighty, awesome God. Amen, church? We are blessed. We have more power available to us than if you were to put all the armies of the world together. We have more power through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The devil took his best shot against Jesus whenever he thought he was going to pour out, you know, this powerful thing of Jesus dying on the cross. But it was in that moment that the devil was defeated. Once and for all, yet he still exists for a time, because God still has some purpose for him to carry out going up to the end. So as we continue to read, we see why there's so much turmoil. The nations are joining their forces together and saying, let us break their bonds in pieces. In other words, we don't want anyone else to be king over us. Unfortunately, there's individual hearts that are doing the same thing. And so we need to make sure that that's not the condition of our heart. Give Jesus lordship willingly over your life. Amen. Verse 4, he goes on to say, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. It doesn't matter. Let all the kings come together against God. He just laughs, because it's nothing in comparison to him. The Lord shall hold him in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Who is that king? Let's say his name together. Jesus. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That is our call as we wait for Jesus to return. Serve the Lord with fear. Have a proper respect and understanding for his great power. And listen to this last verse of Psalm 2. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. What does that mean to kiss the Son? It means to be in right relationship with him. It means to not only fear him, respect him, revere him, but be close to him. Many cultures today, you know, they still will kiss as a greeting, a kiss on the cheek whenever you come up to someone. And it's for people that really know each other, that really care about each other. I know we've kind of lost that in our culture today, and to be honest with you, I'm a little uncomfortable with it, so it's okay with me that we don't necessarily do that. But what we need to understand the scripture in the lens that it's being written is telling all of us, be so close to Jesus that you would feel comfortable and going up to him, as powerful and awesome as he is, but you would be so close to him that you long for being in his presence to feel his embrace and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we need to live for. Instead of living for our own kingdom, trying to build our own kingdom, don't build a kingdom that competes with Jesus. Because if you do, you lose. Let's build his kingdom. Let's enjoy what he is doing. Let's be so close to him that we're working alongside of him already so that whenever he returns, it's with an embrace and a sweet kiss on the cheek. Lest he be angry and you perish in the way. There's so many people that are building kingdoms that are going to be dashed to pieces. We watch it happen all over the world. We just need to make sure it's not happening in my house. That's our call as dads. That's our call as men. That's our call as the ladies who in our homes. Don't defy the scripture and think somehow you're going to win. Don't say, I know that's what scripture says, but I don't care, pastor, because you're not going to answer to me. You're going to answer to God Almighty. And I'm going to tell you in this last chapter of Scripture, you notice whenever I wrote the heading, even so come, Lord Jesus. He is Lord. He is Lord. And I pray that we willingly give our lives to him as our Lord. But I put on there the verses, chapter 22, verses 18-, because I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter that this book ends. What matters is he's coming back. And then it never ends. It means when it's eternity. You submit to him now, you get to enjoy him forever. You don't submit to him now, and you're going to suffer forever. And it don't matter that your name's on a roll in a church. He's not going to check that to see. What he is looking for is this one, mine. And he knows. So as we look and we read these verses in Revelation chapter 22, we understand something from verse 18 straight up. You better not mess with the book. Because we look at the warning there, and he says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. I'll tell you what, God's word is holy. I've heard some people say, well, you know, that's just for the book of Revelation. Well, I'll tell you what, you can start at Revelation with that warning, but I think you better just encompass the whole Word of God. Don't be messing with the Word of God. Let it say what it says. Don't try to purdy it up to make other people feel comfortable. And don't try to change it for yourself. You can't rationalize it away. You just need to let it be what it is. And I'll tell you what, when we look at it, we'll understand none of us measure up. Amen. Don't get comfortable with that. Just repent whenever you see don't measure up and say, Lord, help me change. Because your word is truth. Don't add to it. And for goodness sake, don't subtract from it either. Just allow it to be what it is. It's the power of God displayed. It's the direction of our lives. It is what we need to pray back to him. He is the truth. And this is his word. It's the truth. And what we begin to see is a saved child of God would not dream, never dream of distorting God's word. Amen. I didn't understand God's word before I got saved. I tried to read it, and it just seemed like it was all Greek still to me. And I would start, and it just didn't make sense, and I would get discouraged, and I'd quit, and all this and that and the other. And finally I got saved, and I began to read it one day, and it just took a whole nother meaning to me. I'll tell you what, this word is precious. I don't understand it all. It's so much bigger than what I could ever imagine. But what I realize is this word will never die. I'm going to have this word for eternity. I understand it better now since I have the Holy Spirit living in me. I understand it even better than whenever I first started with the Holy Spirit living in me because God's still explaining it to me. And then what I think is whenever I get to heaven, I'm going to see him face to face and I'm going to be with him forever. And you know what? I'm going to have the word of God still forever. Because he said all these other things are going to pass away, but his word is going to stand forever. And so I can't imagine how much more understanding I'm going to have whenever I'm actually there face to face with him and have him to help explain it to me. Hey, this is how that related, and this is how this relates. And I think we're going to have forever to appreciate God and how awesome his word is. And so as a saved child of God, don't ever dream of distorting it. Don't think somehow you own it. I have a copy of it. I take it home with me. It has my name on the inside cover, but I'll tell you what, this is God's word. This word is holy. You know, whenever we went to Sri Lanka, something I saw, a lot of those folks didn't have much, and they'd come to meetings, but they wouldn't dream of that wonderful Bible. We just call it a book. You know, the word Bible means books. It's a collection of books. How many books are in the Bible? Does anybody know? All right. One author, really, who spoke through 40 different men, bringing it together over thousands of years, is consistent. It's beautiful. Collection. It's amazing. All put into one book. We call it the Bible. And whenever they would come to a meeting and they would come in to, you know, pull off their shoes at the door because we were going into holy ground. And I noticed something about them. They would never set their Bible on the floor. I don't care how clean the floor is. I don't even care if they went over and crossed their legs and sat on the floor. That Bible would never touch the floor. You know why? Because they wanted to revere God's word as holy. That was a symbol. Sometimes I thought it might even be a little overboard because sometimes, I mean, you're just in a situation where you got to figure something out. You can't be holding it all the time. But I'll tell you what, I appreciate that sentiment. Do you ever have a Bible that fell apart? Pages started falling out? I mean, you obviously can't keep using it then because there's parts of it missing, right? What do you do with it? Because it's holy. I know, the paper itself is just paper. I get that. But I'll tell you what, these words are precious. Okay, so ever how you handle it whenever it comes to whether or not you sit on the floor, I'm not going to judge you, but please don't take it lightly what you have. And definitely do not ever dream of distorting it. In fact, it says in verse 19, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. This doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation. I think what it means is a true child of God wouldn't dream of doing that in the first place. Just take the warning, heed that warning, and don't ever try to distort the word of God. Why does it wait until the very end of all of the prophecy and all of the word of God? As we are poised and waiting for the return of Jesus, it's saying no matter how long it takes, church, don't you dare distort these words. These words are life, and they bring life to others, and he wants others to come to know the Lord. And this word is our tool to help take it to them. It's precious. It's the power of God and salvation. And it's what brings us to that point that we can see that Jesus is salvation. Amen. So God shall take away his part in the book of life from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Jesus says he's coming quickly, guys. He repeats it again here, and we see this is like the fifth time he said it in Revelation. He means it. He's coming quickly without delay. When the time comes, wow, it's going to happen. And he's reminding of this to us, and he's saying, surely I am coming quickly, so be ready, church. You know, if my mom and dad would leave me with a chore to do, and they'd say, I'm going to town, but I'll be back quickly, do you know, I wouldn't delay in trying to get the chore done before they made it home. If they told me, hey, well, I'm going to be gone for a while, what do you think happened? You know, procrastination. Why do something today when you could always do it tomorrow, right? It's a bad plan, I'm just telling you. In fact, it got me in trouble several times, thinking, well, I got more time than what I think I have, and so put it off. Guys, don't put it off. Whatever you have to do in the Lord, do it now. That person you need to witness to, that person you need to pray for, that reading through the Bible, do it now. Whatever it may be that you're doing to get closer to God and to get, you know, your life more in track, building the kingdom, let's do it now. Let's just be engaged. Let's stop getting distracted. Let's quit letting the things get in our way that we know are insignificant. And let's deal with that which is significant. Let's stop quarreling and arguing over little things that don't even matter. Can I get an amen? Let's get on to stuff that matters. Because surely I am coming. What? Quickly. Be ready. Could happen today. His bride is looking forward to the bridegroom coming. I have two of my children that are getting married pretty soon. And they're, you know, I see there's an excitement and anticipation. It's like, yeah, it's going to happen quickly. And so they're excited about that moment. I say, praise the Lord. They should be. That's a wonderful moment. Amen. And especially the bride. You know, I remember whenever we got married, I was just like, you know, all these details. You know, let's just get it. Let's just hurry up, you know. I mean, this suit's hot. And it's uncomfortable. And I don't want to get stain on it because it's just rented. You know what I'm saying? So, like, let's just get this thing over. But it wasn't like that for my wife. I can still remember turning around and seeing my bride coming down the aisle, you know. And she was just outstanding. Still is today in my eyes. I mean, she is the only woman for me. And I just praise God for my bride, you know. But I remember her thinking over these details and having an idea what she wanted her dress to look like, what she wanted her shoes to look like. You know, she had these cute, like, ballet slippers that she wore, you know. They wouldn't have been what I would have chose, but, you know, they looked beautiful on her. It was awesome. She made herself ready for that day. Are you making yourself ready for the day? You know, whenever he shows up, I don't think he's going to, like, give us a great, huge announcement. It's going to be like twinkle of an eye for the rapture, right? What do you want to be doing the moment that happens? Well, I just tell you, you better be doing it now. Because you don't know when it's going to come, amen? I remind myself of this. Whenever I'm getting ready to say that foolish thing that I know I probably shouldn't say, just don't say it. Just clamp your mouth together, put your hand over your mouth, it'll pass. You'll get past it. You don't have to say it, because I sure wouldn't want to be saying it when Jesus comes back. I'm preaching to myself here. That thing that you know you really shouldn't look at, that thing you know that you really shouldn't do, or be thinking about or contemplating, ask Jesus to help you with it. resist it because you want to make sure you're doing the right thing whenever Jesus returns. Amen. Not that you're going to miss out, but do you want to be able to meet him and be glad he's standing there like the bride who's coming down the aisle? I haven't seen too many brides get to the end of the aisle and go, you know, well, I don't know. If they've made it that far, they're excited about coming down the aisle. I've seen a few of the bridegrooms down there at the end just waiting on them, thinking, I hope they're still happy when they get this far. Hey, let me tell you, when Jesus returns and you're ready, man, it's going to be awesome. It's something worth planning for. It's something worth living for. It's something worth preparing for. This is something that's good to be ready for. Amen. I haven't seen too many brides get to the back of this church, come down the aisle still in their house coat and the curlers in their hair. Now, I've seen a few weddings start late because of all that preparation, because they weren't quite ready. But, you know, this wedding supper is not going to start late. He's not just going to wait for us to get ready, right? There's a parable about that in the 10 virgins and their lamps and the oil and all that stuff. Be ready. Take extra oil. Like, fill up on the Holy Spirit. Get in the Word of God. Be doing what is preparing us. And he says, surely I'm coming quickly. His bride is looking forward to that, to the bridegroom coming. And we see that in verse 20. He who testifies these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so. Listen to those words after that. Proclamation, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's say that together. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Doesn't it feel good to say that? Don't you want to be so ready that every morning when you wake up, you say, Lord, this would be a good day for you to come. Every evening, whenever you finish your day and you're getting ready, you could say, even so, come. I'm ready. I want to know my children are ready, amen? Now I've got grandchildren. Does anybody know how many grandchildren we have right now? I always like this little pop quiz. 22, we're expecting the 22nd. So far, we're looking at 20 of them. Isn't that awesome? I never could imagine, you know? This whole thing, whenever you're struggling with having children and you're just trying to make it from day to day, can anybody say amen to that? You're just like, and then they grow up. I mean, it's like, it seemed like it would never happen, but I'm telling you, it happens. Our first baby's going to turn 40. I feel old now. It's awesome, though. Some people have asked me when they look at lots of children, and they say, what are you, crazy? And it's like, man, you know, I used to think so. I felt kind of crazy, but hey, it works out. So whether you have one or 20 or none, and you're enjoying somebody else's, you know, as being your family too, let me just tell you, when we pour into these youth, it matters. And people would say, do you just go to camp because you're the only one? No, I go to camp because I want to pour into the lives. I am blessed to get to go to camp this week. Am I blessed because it's great accommodations and the beds are real comfortable? Nope. Am I blessed because I'm going to get a lot of rest? Nope. There are a lot of other aspects that can be a blessing, but I'll tell you the reason why I go is because I want to build into the kids. Please be praying for us this week. Amen? Because I want to be able to say, even so come, Lord Jesus. They're ready, Lord. Those who have been put under our attention and our care are ready. Don't you want them all to be ready? That way we can, just like with joy, say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And you know what it's going to take to get there? I used to wonder about that last little statement in this book, but I'll tell you, it is more and more a better understanding to me now. This last words in verse 21, I mean, these are the last words before Jesus comes back. In Scripture, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. You know what we're going to need to get to the end, to the finish line, and be right with Christ, be ready? We need His grace. You know what? I've been doing this walk with Jesus now for quite a few years. I don't remember the exact date that I was born again, but it's been over 20 years now. And as I'm looking at it, I would have thought that I would have a better handle on things by now, with my own self-control and my ability to have it all together and just to be. I really thought that by the time, you know, I got to the end of my life, I'd probably be good enough to be in heaven at first, but I can tell you I'll never be good enough. You know what I'm going to need at the end of this whole thing? I'm going to need grace, that same grace that brought me to salvation in the first place. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, as we get to the end of this, your wonderful collection of books called the Bible, we have this service, we read these last verses of Scripture before you come back. I want to pray these words over this blessed body of Christ in Cadet, Missouri. Oh Lord, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. May that beautiful grace that saves us, you're saved by grace through faith. That same grace that brings that faith into our lives, that helps us be able to believe it, helps us to be able to trust you, it's the same grace that's going to get us all the way to the finish line. And so, Lord, may that grace be with us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the Lord works in your heart, if there's something you need to pray about,